now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. A lot of these people that have all these abilities, who have celestial star ancestry, they're operating not only throughout this cosmos, but in higher planes, and they're working against the Draco Empire. The photonic energy and the cosmic rays will activate our higher centers. And it's incumbent upon us to ride that frequency wave. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you are listening to A Course in Empowerment. It's a new feature involving myself and my colleague, Dean. Well, we'll talk about various aspects of empowerment, how disempowerment manifests itself in its many forms, and ways that we can get into a solutions-oriented mode and be able to track and monitor our progress and see that, hey, we are moving along in this world, we are making a difference, and we are advancing. And that's important that we feel that we're making a difference. It's important that we feel that we're changing and growing. So without any further ado, here's my colleague Dean. Dean, how are you?
I'm good, James. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I really like this whole idea about the discussion about empowerment. Tell us the importance of being empowered. And right from the get-go, that we stay out of this fear vibe, false expectations appearing real. Like, for example, I feel, no one else has to believe this, but I feel that there's something to the whole Planet X brown dwarf, red dwarf issue, but I'm not in fear of it. I'm closed in my own bubble. I've got plans. I'm executing those plans. I'm working out strategies, and I'm moving on. And I'm not allowing the knowledge of Planet X, I'm not allowing the knowledge of any of this other stuff to weigh me down. So I'd like you to talk at the outset about empowerment and how disempowerment works on people, as well as the law of attraction. Those are three key issues, empowerment, disempowerment, and the law of attraction. So please, Dean, you've got the floor.
Well, James, we're living in a system where we actually have a lot more power than we realize, but the system's set up to disempower us, where we lose our consciousness and we're not able to enjoy our life to the fullest or even close to the fullest. What happens is there's a system that disempowers us. For example, when somebody wakes up to the fact that everything's not as it seems, that everything's not working out in government, that, and they realize that people, there are evil people in some places and things are not good, they wake up into another reality of disempowerment where the world's gonna end, they're dumping poison on their head, there's nothing we can do. And while some of these things may be true, if we get into that mindset and reality, then we're going to freeze and we're not going to be able to do anything. It's almost like there's a multi-tiered matrix where people will wake up from one reality where everything's fine and as it's said, and the government and the newspapers and everything, into a reality that's pretty dark and pretty hellish, where all our food's poisonous, poison's being put in our air, being dumped on our head, the world's gonna end, a planet's gonna crash into our planet, and we're all gonna die. And while some of that stuff is happening, like chemtrails and the horrible quality of the food we're getting, it's true. And there may, we don't know, there may be a solar flare that wipes out all our technology, or there may be some kind of a planet that's going to crash into Earth and destroy it. We can't live our life based on that fear mode, because that's going to disempower us and shut us down.
Do you want to comment about the different layers of reality, what you mean by that?
Yes, it's almost like a layered matrix system where the first level is you're completely asleep, You believe what they tell you in the books, you believe what they tell you on TV, and you don't think at all, then what happens is you start to realize everything's not as it seems, and you start to wake up from that reality. Once you wake up, the common thing that's sold to you is a fear-based reality where the world's going to end, there's going to be a big apocalypse, there's nothing you can do about it. And what that does, that shuts you down and it takes your power away so that you can't do anything, you can't live a good quality of life, and you basically shut down because there's nothing you can do.
Information constipation. It's paralysis by fear. And remember, folks, fear is false expectations appearing real. Fully 90, 95% of the things that we're preoccupied with, the things that we worry and stress out about, never even come to pass. And Bernard Gunther talked about this. It's a function of the linear time flat field effect, where we fear these things that may or may not happen in the future because of the linear time mode. We think that, oh no, we're running out of money before we run out of month. How long till my next paycheck? 2 weeks is too long. And so we permanently are stuck in this mode where instead of looking at the future from a joyous feeling of expectation of we're going to receive bounty, we're going to receive joyous abundance, emotional, psychological, spiritual needs met, everything is laced. Every thought, every premonition of the future is laced with fear and foreboding. And so it's important that we remember that when we break out of the slumber and we're at that first level of awareness, that first level of awareness, i.e. fiat, currency, debt trap, etc., etc., that is 100% laced with fear and foreboding because of the alchemical spiritual manipulation associated with money and currency. So we need to move beyond that. And then we need to start looking at how we can begin to reprogram our minds. So we're going from disempowerment to empowerment. What are the kinds of ways that you would encourage people like think and do as far as reprogramming our minds from disempowerment to empowerment?
There's actually a lot of ways we can do that. We can do it in aspects of our health, in aspects of the way we think, in aspects of our life. One of the ways we can do that is instead of living in a reality where we live paycheck to paycheck, we want to create our own reality and have something that we can create and share with others, because that's ultimately how in this system people get money and success, not by living from paycheck to paycheck. If your reality is you wake up, you enjoy creating something, then that's going to empower you. If your reality is a fear-based one where I have to go to work because I'm going to live under the street, under a bridge, or in the cold because I can't afford to pay my bills if I don't work, you're going to get stuck in a loop, and you're going to be stuck like that until you get out of that loop. So you want to start thinking in a way, how can you start a website, start a business, start something that's going to empower you? You don't want to be dependent on a 9-to-5 job.
There are aspects of the law of attraction that are not discussed much. Would you like to elaborate on what some of those aspects are?
Yes, there's a lot of websites that talk about the law of attraction and tell us all we have to do is think about and believe what we want and we'll get it. And to some extent that may be true, but they're not telling us the complete story because the law of attraction's a lot more complicated, more intricate than what they're telling us, or otherwise everybody would be living in million-dollar homes, not having to work, and traveling the world. It's not just thoughts that attract stuff into our life. There's other things that are more powerful, such as how we feel and what we have inside our body. For example, if we're always ingesting meat from cows that have been tortured, animals that have been tortured, low quality vegetables, that kind of energy is going to get stuck in our body, and it's going to be attracting that kind of reality into our life, no matter what we think or how much we believe we're going to get something, or no matter how positive we are. Another thing that's going to attract that kind of low level reality is the vaccines, because the vaccines have all kinds of horrible things in them, and they're basically putting that kind of vibration and energy into our body. So it's not just what we're thinking, but also what we're putting into our body and things like that as well.
I'm reminded of the Lemurian scrolls. The Koori elders, i.e. Aboriginal elders, state that they've been here on Earth and they've been in Australia for at least 1 million years, and they came here from the Pleiades. And when you read a book, which I think is a classic, called the Lemurian Scrolls, it jibes with that, because the information from the Lemurian Scrolls states that when the Palladians came here 1 million or so years ago at least, and probably longer, they were higher density, they were fifth dimensional or higher. And in order to densify themselves into this 3D world, they had to give a votive offering and do some kind of ceremony involving fruits and vegetables, which they ingested, which allowed them to somewhat densify so they can inhabit this world in a corporeal fashion, they themselves as well as their hybrid offspring, right, which were genetically suited for this planet. And the point of relevance is this. It's the inversion of that that's caused a lot of these problems, where the reptilian Draco hybrid astronomer priest manipulated people into eating animals, but also into human and animal sacrifice. So that densified them into an even lower vibration, which allowed them, the people indulging in such things, to be inhabited and interfaced with by these lower density entities. There's an aspect of genetic engineering that plays into this too, because why is bovine blood, i.e. cow blood, such a close match with human blood? Why is pig meat, i.e. pork, why is it so similar to human flesh? During the early stages of World War II in the Pacific, the Japanese were starving. It was the Kokoda Track in the Owen Stanley Mountain Range in Papua New Guinea. The Japanese were starving, and they resorted, and this was not the only campaign this happened in, but in the early stages of World War II in New Guinea, many of the Japanese resorted to eating the flesh from dead Australian soldiers. They called the meat derived therefrom as white pork. They called the meat they got from dead Australian soldiers white pork. Again, it underscores the similarity between pork on the one hand and human flesh on the other. So just how was there this kind of genetic connection between the two? Is it possible that the Anunnaki, the Draco, the reptilians, whoever, genetically manipulated cows and pigs to have this close connection to humans? So when they were taught animal husbandry, the celestial gods, the caretakers of the Aboriginals, the Koori, the Native Americans, they were not taught animal husbandry. They may have been taught how to, you know, survive even by eating flesh from animals, but their approach to eating animals is entirely different. You know, they honor the animal. They use all the parts of the animal. They ask for sacrifices from the animals in the wild to see which one of the animals wants to continue on in their spiritual journey. It's not this animal husbandry which now has morphed into this horrific factory farm syndrome, where not only are people ingesting animals that may have been genetically manipulated way back when to have somewhat of a genetic compatibility and match with humans, but on top of that now, we're seeing that in vaccines, aborted fetal tissue is being put into vaccines and other things that have to do with human cells and whatnot. It's winding up in the food cycle. All this, the point of relevance, dear listeners, is that it tends to densify people, right? We're not playing the blame game of accusing, you know, meat eaters of being cannibals. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a genetic, energetic aspect here. Remember at the outset, I just spoke about how in order for the fifth dimensional Palladians to densify themselves into our dimension, our earthly plane, they had to do some kind of magical ceremonies, if you will, involving fruits and vegetables, ingesting them in order to anchor themselves into our frequency. The inverse of this was created by the reptilian hybrid astronomer priest. It went from, on the one hand, higher dimensional, higher density beings ingesting in a ceremonial fashion fruits and vegetables to densify and anchor themselves in our dimension. It went from that to animal and human sacrifice, and now animal husbandry taught by the Anunnaki, to the factory farms today, to the aborted fetal tissue cells in vaccines, etc., etc. And then you layer on top of that, and talked about this before, how the pharmaceuticals themselves may play a role in densifying people to the point where this may affect them from a soul harvesting, energetic harvesting, soul recyclement standpoint. Did you want to comment on that?
James, a very important point that your listeners should know is that all these factory farming and pharmaceuticals and all the toxins and stuff that are used in paints and houses and everything, they have a purpose behind them. And what that does, that locks us into a low frequency, which is a survival-only frequency, not a frequency where we can create and flourish.
People should remember the energetic consciousness aspect, where we are what we eat, and we ingest what we eat, and it becomes a part of our being. It becomes a part of our DNA. We were talking about the factory farms earlier. What some healers, psychics, mystics, those with etheric third eye vision have reported seeing in the recent past is they're seeing what look like pig demons or cow demons that's showing up in the lower astral. It's attacking them in the dreamscape. It's attacking them in their third eye vision. You and I talked about this, and we're wondering, what is this? Are these new players in the overall scheme of things? And then it dawned on us that these pig demons, these cow demons, they're the etheric lower astral thought form, consciousness from all these animals that have been slaughtered in these factory farms. The collective anguish, fear, terror, and anger, yes, anger that this is happening to them. Animals can get angry too. All of that has, in a sense, congealed in the lower astral planes, and much like thought forms, when people can actually conjure up and create thought forms just from their thinking, all of this anguish emanating from these factory farms has created these pig demons, these cow demons. And these are tormented animals, spirits of countless animals that need to be released, need to go back and allowed to continue their spiritual journey. So not only are people ingesting the endorphins and hormones released when animals are terrified or are going to die, also we have all these entities that are manifesting all over the place as a direct result of the factory farm process, and this is what's getting ingested in people. Did you want to comment on that?
Yeah, Dean? Traditionally people have been closer to their food source. What they'd do, they'd raise the food, they'd kill it in a humane way, or they'd harvest it in a proper manner, and they'd eat it. When we're so disconnected from the food and what we eat, then large factory farms can create this horrible quality food that's basically torturing the animals worse than some of the genocide that we all hear about to humans. And then we ingest this food and it alters our reality. It alters our thinking. When animals are raised in factory farms, instead of having the proper balance of omega-3 to omega-6 fatty acids, they are a lot higher in omega-6 fatty acids than omega-3 fatty acids. And what that does, it overwhelms our enzyme that produces DHA, which we need for our brain, nerves, pretty much almost everything in our body. And that degrades our thinking. It harms our organs and it brings us down into a low reality. So even if you don't believe in the energetics of this, from a physical standpoint, there's a lot of evidence that by ingesting this horrible quality tortured food, it's going to bring down your health. It's going to make you have health problems, and it's not a good thing to do.
It goes back to what we spoke about earlier in this lower plane that we're at, and this also ties in with the notion that because of these increasing frequencies, because of this mass consciousness awareness, this mass consciousness rising that's going on, there may be an effect, a splitting off of the Earth, one Earth going to a higher dimension, and whatever those mechanics, whatever those dynamics entail, I don't know, at a conscious level. And then the opposite of that is there will be a lower, denser Earth, which will have its lower, denser inhabitants. We were always talking in the recent past, especially, about how we may already be in the fourth dimension. If we make the argument that we're already in the fourth dimension, and this lower, denser Earth densifies and goes into even a darker, lower realm. If this recyclement process continues, those people caught up in that soul recycling, soul harvesting, will come back even denser than they were in previous incarnations, because it's quite possible this whole concept of factory farms, animal husbandry, the eating of flesh of animals that have been traumatized and tortured was a deliberate agenda to keep humans from spiritually ascending, from being able to move beyond this prison matrix system. It's important that people recognize the nature of the multiple threat environment in which we reside. Again, we're not talking about this from a fearful standpoint. We're talking about things that tend to disempower us. Now, another aspect of this that I think it's important to talk about, we talked about, you know, the layered reality of people waking up at different levels and how the first layer of waking up is the most fearful layer that we need to get past. And fear induces paralysis, it creates indecision, we don't want to take action because we're fearful of the consequences, because we're locked in the mentality of the linear flat field time effect. Instead of thinking like multidimensional quantum beings, we're thinking in linear terms and we view the future with foreboding. And so we begin to move away from the density and the darkness. We begin to detach from all the booby traps set for us in the form of vaccines, pharmaceuticals, and the traumatized, tortured meat, right? And there's still a lot of people going through stages, folks. It's difficult for them to jump right into vegetarianism. Many people, there's an intermediate stage where they still, on occasion, eat fish. You know, they, as much as possible, they try to source the fish, you know, make sure they don't get it from northern Pacific waters, i.e. Fukushima, right? They still eat shrimp or prawns. They still eat squid, and we're not passing judgment. It's an intermediate phase for a lot of people. A lot of people don't know just how tasty vegetarian and the next level beyond that, vegan food can be. There's a whole lot of ways of preparing food that can even fool a meat eater into thinking they're eating meat, but it's not. It's just, it's something that looks like meat, but is actually lighter and healthier. Many people that have made the transition from an exclusively meat diet to a largely vegetarian diet with some, you know, fish and shrimp and squid on the side, they report benefits such as reduced asthma issues or no asthma issues. They report no gout issues, whereas before the buildup of uric acid caused painful gout. And they talk about also how the clarity of their thinking increases. Their thinking is not so muddled or foggy-headed. They feel lighter. They feel embodied, and yet they feel lighter at the same time. They don't feel this kind of inflammatory, kind of bulky, kind of densified state of being, which they may have felt in the past. So, again, we're talking about moving away from the disempowerment and this matrix system that's been created, and we're doing it without judgment. There are many of these narcissistic, sociopathic vegans out there who even look down their noses at vegetarians, right? There are vegetarians who look down their noses at people who still eat meat. So we're not in the blame game. We're not into intolerance, judgmentalism, because that's one rung below an eliminationist, genocidal, let's get rid of a mindset.
I'm definitely not encouraging people not to eat meat, but you definitely don't want to have meat every single meal because that will cause problems. With the quality of the produce and stuff that you can buy in the supermarkets, if you go completely vegan, you're probably going to run into a lot of health issues. So we're not encouraging you to stop eating meat. Even if you're vegetarian, you have to be very careful to balance your diet and get all the nutrients you need. What I would recommend is eat less meat. Eat maybe once a week or once every 2 weeks or not every day. And then buy higher quality meat. You want to get the grass-fed, best quality meat where the animals are happy. And you're going to get the good quality meat that has all the omega-3s in it. It's not going to cause you inflammation, because what happens with the meat when it's loaded with omega-6s from animals that have been tortured and haven't been fed properly, that promotes inflammation in your body.
Yes, add on top of that all the hormones they pump into it, which is resulting in young boys developing man boobs at an early age. I mean, the whole concept of man boobs itself is an oxymoron, but now boys are developing man boobs, and also young girls are starting to develop breasts sooner because of all the hormones that are just continuously pumped into these animals. And also this goes for the dairy products too, because what they do to the dairy cows is so unnatural. They pump them full of so many hormones and so many steroids until they look like, you know, like a big bulked up kind of animal, and then they hook them up to these hoses which feed into these pumping machines. So the cows go from being cows to being like a pumping dairy station. It's like completely unnatural. It's part and parcel of this weird AI that we're finding ourselves in, where animals are being turned into, people are worried about, you know, humans and transhumanism and being turned into a cyborg, but we're seeing that with life forms around us being turned into automatons.
That's true. When you buy your dairy, if you have dairy, you should look on Craigslist or a similar website for your country, and instead of buying horrible, low-quality, poisonous milk that's been pasteurized, homogenized, pumped full of hormones that's going to destroy your health and disrupt your endocrine system, rather look on Craigslist for somebody who has their own goats, usually, who can sell you goat's milk, and then you'll be getting it from somebody who's proud of the way they treat their goats, and it's going to be good quality milk that's going to help your health, and it's not going to pull all the calcium out of your bones and cause you all these inflammatory conditions. When we have all these foods that are highly flavored with flavor enhancers, especially MSG, all the chemicals that they use to addict us to our food so we eat more of their food and they can make more money, we should be eating food that doesn't have that in, because when we eat food that has that in, it's almost like with your ears, if you're constantly listening to loud music, it's going to destroy your hearing and you're not going to be able to hear properly. With this, if you eat all these flavor enhancers, you're going to not be able to taste your food properly, you're not going to be able to smell properly, and you're going to end up not being able to pick out the food that's going to benefit your health. I think another issue with that is your body has a very subtle feedback mechanism, not just I cut myself, it hurts, but your body can give you a lot more detailed and accurate information on what you need to eat, how you need to stand, when you need to sleep. And if you follow that, you can get rid of a lot of health problems without taking any additional vitamins or without doing any additional cost to you. But when you take all these highly flavored with chemical foods, you're constantly overwhelming that pathway, and you're not going to be able to get that information from your body.
And also, we have a similar situation with the sense of smell. Is that not the case?
That is the case. When we have all these flavor enhancers, and also all these perfumes and scents that are made from aromatic petrochemicals that cause a lot of problems with our sense of smell, and things that would normally be putrid to us, we can get snuck into our food and we'll eat them, and the corporations can make lots of money at our expense.
It's also detaching and detuning us from nature once again. So many people, they live in high-rise apartments, they live in tenement buildings, they live in built-up urban areas. It's a challenge for them, to even find a park in their local area to become at one with nature. More and more people that find themselves in those circumstances that have an esoteric, holistic mindset, they're finding they have to go within, they have to meditate, they have to do things like that in order to get grounded, in order to become one with nature. And so when a sense of taste becomes affected, malignly influenced, when our sense of smell becomes malignly influenced, we begin to lose and become disempowered once again, lose aspects of ourselves, because the sense of smell and the sense of taste are intimately connected with certain parts of our brain. To give an example of how important the sense of smell is for survival purposes, and it's probably a bad example because it has to do with warfare, but there's an underlying point being made. For example, like in nature, a lot of native warriors, they, like animals in the wild, they can sense energetic atmospheric changes. They can pick up scents from quite a long distance, odors, smells. They can hear things that normal people in a very noisy urban environment cannot hear because their sense of hearing has been so dulled. I'm reminded of some of the Navy SEAL squads and platoons that worked in the Mekong Delta and the Rungsat Special Zone during the Vietnam War. Some of these SEALs, they only ate Vietnamese food. And the reasoning behind that is when they're out there infiltrating and sneaking into, Viet Cong strongholds or, doing whatever they're doing, they don't want to smell like white people. They don't want to smell like Americans. They don't want to smell like foreigners. So their diet would be, for the most part, unless they were on R&R somewhere back in the States or some other place, they would be eating native food because they didn't want to smell like foreigners. And I'm reminded also when General Sherman's army marched across the South and basically just devastated everything and living off the land, basically stealing from all the Southerners and leaving them destitute. A lot of the Southern people at the approach of Sherman's army, they would hide their domestic animals. They would hide their horses. They would hide their mules. They would hide their pigs and cows. And Sherman's advance, what we would now call advanced reconnaissance units, there were really foragers, but also advanced scouts. Some of these guys would go into a southern homestead and stand around and sniff the air, and they would know exactly where the horses and other animals were being hidden. That's how acute their sense of smell was. These so-called Westerners in Sherman's army, they had attained fabled mythic status amongst the Southerners for their ability to be frontiersmen, to live in the wild, and to be able to smell horses, to smell cows, to smell pigs from even quite a distance away. And that's another thing that we've lost, because with the artificial scents of a lot of these cheap petroleum-based fragrances and perfumes, these tend to overwhelm the senses. And for many people who already have inflammatory issues due to vaccines, due to the poor diet, et cetera, just sniffing some of these cheap perfumes and fragrances can engender an almost immediate inflammation response. It's like all of our senses are being systematically undermined.
They are, and I also wanted to comment on a lot of native cultures say that the earth's blood is the oil, so I think there's also an energetic aspect to using all this petroleum-based product in our lives. Just like we have the almost cannibalism issue with our food, it's the same thing. We're cannibalizing the earth by using all this petroleum-based products when we don't need to. Originally, the fragrances and perfumes were made with the essential oils of plants and flowers, and they wouldn't harm us. They could relax us and help our health even sometimes, but now they're made with petrochemicals. So not only are we harming our health with this, we're also having an energetic aspect of cannibalizing our planet where we live.
Again, there was a gradual step-by-step process. For example, we went from using natural fragrances found in flowers and in plants in nature, and then after that, it shifted to glands they would pull out of whales, which they would then use for perfumes. And then from there, it went from, well, they're still doing that in some places. They're still using whale products, as horrific as that sounds. And then from there, it went to using oil-based products, even in sunscreen, which is so bizarre, right? I'm glad you mentioned the thing about oil, Dean, because that's another one of the big lies, is this notion of peak oil, this notion of running out of natural resources as a justification for invading and destroying all these countries. Because the oil is actually what they call abiotic. It's natural in the earth. It's got nothing to do with decomposed dinosaurs and paleo age plant matter. That's so ridiculous. There wouldn't be enough of that to go around. It would have run out a long time ago if oil was based entirely from decomposed dinosaurs and paleo-ancient plant matter. No, oil is something that's found within the earth. It's a natural, I don't know if you would call it a lubricant of the earth below or whatever the case may be, but you're right. By utilizing oil and making it such a key facet of our surface level existence, it's another way of not only, like you pointed out, we're cannibalizing ourselves by engaging in all this densifying behavior as far as our diet and the things we ingest are concerned, but in a very real way, by using petroleum-based products, we're literally killing this planet. And the planet is itself a living organism with countless flora and fauna and organisms upon it. And so now they've taken that to a whole nother level, Dean, with the whole coal seam gas fracking issue, where fracking is to the earth and the water aquifers beneath the surface. It's like what's being done to the sky with chemtrails. And so we have to begin to move away from that paradigm in all of its manifestations. Every single way we see around us, whatever is being marketed to us as consumers, if it is of a densifying nature, we have to move away from that. And we have to get back and we have to watch what nature does, what animals do.
When animals are deficient in something, unlike humans, they can recognize what they're deficient in because they haven't overwhelmed that feedback mechanism that the body has that can give you information about what you need. Unless, of course, you're feeding your dog food that has MSG in, which is common in a lot of dog foods. But when you don't overwhelm that feedback mechanism that your body has to give you information with the highly scented perfumes from oils, the highly chemical food like the MSG stuff, your body will actually be able to give you better information about what you need to do, how you need to stand, when you should go to bed, what you should eat, and things like that. So if you want to start regaining that ability, all you need to do is start cutting out the things that are going to overwhelm that. And the number one thing is free glutamate. What you should do is search online for names for free glutamate, and you want to cut that out of your diet, because not only is it going to overwhelm that mechanism, it's going to make your mind clouded and your thinking foggy. When I just started learning about this, I noticed that certain days my thinking would be really clouded and foggy, and it would feel like my brain was wrapped in saran wrap. And what I found out later on is that even though I was trying to get rid of monosodium glutamate in my diet, they hide it in the food under a million other names like celery salt or hydrolyzed or autolyzed or stuff like that. So once I cut that out of my diet completely, then it cleared up my thinking and it cleared up a lot of health problems for me. So I would say the number one thing to start with is cutting that one thing, free glutamate, out of your diet.
Yes, on top of everything else is a neurotoxin. It's interesting the number of ways they disguise this stuff. Like, you look on the ingredients, it'll say something innocuous like flavor enhancer 666 or something, you know, or flavor enhancer like 333, or and you just know it has something to do with MSG. And Dean was there when he and I went to a all-you-could-eat buffet in Laughlin, Nevada years ago. Yeah, I was a glutton. I used to walk back to my table at these all-you-can-eat buffets in places like Vegas and Laughlin, Nevada. I wouldn't even start eating until I had two plates at my table. And then I would get going, and then I would have seconds on top of that, and then I would have dessert on top of that. But because of the MSG overload, now think about that. All these people munching on all these buffets all over the place, not just in the hotel casinos, but basically anywhere, right? So many places use MSG or the coy nicknames for MSG, and they put it in the food. And so, like, I go to these buffets, munch out, and boy, like, I could barely breathe. And it was not only that the inflammation would kick in, and I'm having problems breathing because of the MSG. But it's like my thinking is like suddenly muddled and cloudy, and I'm disorientated, and you know, all that came about because I was a glutton and I lacked self-control and, you know, lacked accountability to myself. Eating is a mood-altering behavior, right? It's not just you look at someone, oh, that person's an addict, let's look down on him or her. Oh, look, that person's an alco, i.e. an alcoholic. It's just eating is a mood-altering behavior. So the way the system is set up is you have all these malevolent flavor enhancers. You have all this GMO. You have all this stuff that comes about as a result of the corporate food processing agenda. And so what happens is we take all that on board, and like the food becomes our addiction. Whereas some people resort to substance abuse, self-medicating, nonstop TV watching, whatever the case may be, others resort to food. And it's not healthy food. It's like what we've been talking about from the start. They get addicted to food which has been, especially the fast foods, have been deliberately designed to make you want more. And I experienced this. I have experienced this myself, where there are certain fast food restaurants that are infamous for putting chemicals in their food which make you hungrier. And I experienced it. And how this manifests, you have this kind of, you eat a burger, let's say, and fries, i.e. chips in, you know, other parts of the world. And you have this chemical kind of taste in the back of your mouth, and it simulates hunger. So you've just had a hamburger and French fries, but because of the chemicals in the imitation food, you are left with this gnawing hunger feeling, which is not really a hunger feeling at all. It's a chemical reaction, right? And so they go back and they get more. And so it's not even that it's a food addiction. It's on top of that. It becomes a food craving, and it's the wrong kind of food. So they get blocked up at all levels. They become obese. They become sickly. They become foggy-headed. They become energetically densified. When you see an obese person, right, always remember, it's not what the person is eating initially that causes the problems. It's not what the person is eating. It's what's eating the person. There's some kind of inner unresolved issue that hasn't been quite worked out, and that particular person's way of dealing with it is through a food addiction. Their method of coping, their mood-altering behavior to make themselves momentarily feel good, is to eat. But the way this default matrix simulation is, and because of the poor schooling and education and brainwashing they've been subjected to, for example, your average oncologist knows next to nothing about nutrition, diet, etc., etc. Only on this planet, or I'm not making light of this, I think it's horrific, only on a planet like this are cancer patients in a cancer ward given Jell-O, given ice cream, given cookies, given white bread, right? All of those things enhance the lactose cycle, which feeds the cancer. That's the nature of the matrix simulation we live in. So when we see an obese person, and we're seeing more and more obese people all across the board now, especially in the so-called developed world. Yes, it's what they're eating because they haven't been taught properly, but it's also what's eating them. And so, again, it speaks to the need to go within, recognize, okay, what is my body telling me, and how do I begin to move away from this matrix of control in such basic things as eating, as drinking, as getting more exercise, etc., etc.
Let me also talk about eating. A lot of people eat not just to sustain their health, but because of an emotional aspect. A lot of people eat because they get home from work and that's what they do to calm themselves down. Or a lot of people eat because it's fun at a gathering. Or some people eat because they're stressed out. Most people that I know don't just eat because they do it for their health. Eating too much and eating the wrong way causes a lot of problems for health and the environment and all kinds of issues for people. There's a lot of thin people who overeat, so it's not just people who are obese who overeat. And when we eat the wrong kinds of food, like the MSG in our food, it causes us to overeat even more. So when we see somebody who's severely overweight, it's not because they're gluttonous. It's definitely not because they're lazy. It's because they've got the wrong information and they're eating the wrong kinds of food. As if they started eating the correct kinds of foods, they'd be less inclined to overeat. So we mustn't judge people who are overweight. If you guys do eat MSG, which sometimes people don't know, like for example, if you go out to a restaurant, most likely you're going to get some MSG in your food, especially if it's an Asian restaurant or a chain restaurant. So what you should do, you should add taurine before or after you've eaten, because what will happen, the MSG is an excitotoxin, so it's going to excite your brain cells till they die. Taurine does just the opposite. Taurine's going to calm them down, so it's going to counteract the MSG. Another thing I just wanted to talk about is a lot of people will say that there's glutamate in meat and tomatoes and all kinds of food and that you need it, and that's true. Glutamate itself is very important, and without glutamate, you're not going to be able to live for very long. What we're talking about is free glutamate that's not bound, which will destroy your health. So if somebody brings up the argument that there's more glutamate in meat than MSG, that's true, but the glutamate in meat is not free, so it's not going to rush to your brain and overexcite your neurons. Another thing that harms our health a lot is Wi-Fi, and people get into a lot of disempowerment because they say, well, I need my Wi-Fi, I can't live without my Wi-Fi, but there's things you can do to use Wi-Fi and make it a lot safer for you. One of the things you can do is you can turn down the transmission power on your router. Most Wi-Fi routers are set somewhere between a default of 250 and 400 milliwatts. You don't need that kind of transmission power on your router. You can turn your router to 2 milliwatts in most situations, and you're going to get the same Wi-Fi coverage, you're going to get the same speed internet, you're going to have the same quality of network access, and you're going to not destroy your health. Another thing that you can do is, if you're using like a desktop or a laptop that has Wi-Fi on it, you can get an external Wi-Fi USB attachment and plug that onto a USB cable that's 8 or 10 feet away from you, so you can still be using the Wi-Fi, but you're not having the Wi-Fi card right where your hand goes, because on most of the laptops and desktops, the Wi-Fi card is as close to your body as you can get. Another thing that's going to be able to help you is if you're having anxiety, you're having bad issues, take some B vitamins, and you don't want to take B vitamins that are derived from petroleum. You want to get a fully methylated N-chain form of the B vitamin that's food-based, and that's really going to help improve your health, and it's going to help get rid of anxiety, it's going to help your mood, and it's going to help with a lot of other issues, because when you're feeling anxiety, you're going to manifest that in your life. So sometimes to get out of the loop, take some B vitamins, and it's going to help you to break that loop.
That's a very good point, Dean, and I can say in my own personal experience, I alluded to this earlier about eating being a mood-altering behavior. I used to work at an insurance company. I was an insurance underwriter, and the moment I got into work, the first thing I would do is I would hit up the vending machines. I'd buy a bag of potato chips. I'd buy usually the largest bag I could find, like a supersized version of a bag of regular potato chips or barbecue, whatever flavor. And then I would get like a supersized candy bar. And then I would get a can of Pepsi. So the first thing I did after clocking in, turning my computer on, etc., was I'd go over to the vending machines, get as large a bag of chips as I can get, a large candy bar as I can get, a can of Pepsi, and go back to my desk. That's how I would start my day. And then I would do the same thing at break, my first break. And then when lunchtime rolled around, what we called the roach coach would appear, right? It would make this kind of honking melody sound, let everyone know it was pulling into the parking lot. I would rock up to it, and I would either buy, like, you know, some greasy fried chicken, or I'd buy, like, a greasy hamburger, or I would just buy something greasy, French fries, right? And then I would eat it, and then, or conversely, I'd go out, you know, in a town, and I'd go to a fast food place and get something maybe not as greasy, but just as bad. And then the second half of my day, post-lunch, I would be really bogged down. I would be really densified. My thinking in my head would be so muddled and so foggy, and I would be lethargic even. Basically, trying not to fall asleep, okay? And then, when I get home, and having to fight the traffic, because I was working in Del Mar, which is North County, San Diego, and having to battle traffic. I worked in Del Mar at one point, and I worked in Mira Mesa at another point. Mira Mesa, I think that was where I worked at the insurance company, that's right. And both times I'd have to battle traffic, right? When I worked in Del Mar, I had to battle Highway 5 traffic coming headed to the south, and when I worked at Mira Mesa, I had to battle Highway 15 traffic, which was even worse. And so just getting home was an ordeal, and then the relief of being home, the relief of getting out of the traffic, I would eat again. And it had nothing to do with being hungry, and had nothing to do with nutrition, not that I was eating anything nutritious at the time, but really it was just to fulfill this emotional need of relief. So, you know, in order to relieve my stress when I got to work, because I had a whole work day to deal with, I'd munch out on potato chips, can of Pepsi, and a big candy bar, had greasy, quote-unquote, food for lunch, and then when I got home in a state of relief, I'd eat more food that I didn't need. And I can tell you that the amount of Pepsi I was drinking, because usually I'd have 2 or 3 cans a day at work, it was to the point where my muscles in my thighs and in my biceps and my calves were so sore from drinking the Pepsi that whatever ingredients were in there were making my muscles sore, that when I finally realized, okay, it's the Pepsi that's doing this to me, and I stopped drinking it, and I haven't drank any of it since, I never had that problem. So, again, a really sore, stiff muscle. So I can attest to the fact that I know what it's like to eat as an emotional kind of thing in order to make me feel better. Now, another thing that we need to talk about before we end this first half is the importance of not wasting our sexual energy. We'll talk more about this in a future episode because it's a very key critical component. But basically, a lot of people, we are sexual beings, let's acknowledge that at the outset. But a lot of people, through masturbation, through addiction to porn, and masturbation and porn go together, but even just simply viewing a lot of what they used to call R-rated movies that have a strong sexual component, that uses up our sexual chi just by being exposed to it, right? So whether it's like frivolous, casual sex without an emotional component, like what people call hooking up these days, whether it's that, whether it's compulsive self-gratification, i.e. compulsive masturbation, addiction to porn, etc., etc., those are all ways that people are pointlessly, senselessly expending their sexual energy, which, remember, folks, is a creative force. Our sexual energy, which is divine, it's from source, it creates life. Let's always remember, Janice Barcello talks about this, and we'll save that for another segment because it is such a deep subject at many levels. A couple of more items and then we'll end this segment. We'll see you at the top of the next hour where we'll talk more about solutions and how to disentangle ourselves from this artificial matrix rapidly becoming an artificial intelligence type of nightmare, and we can detach from it. Okay, the Wi-Fi, Dean mentioned some really key points of how, if you had to use Wi-Fi, how do we utilize it in a way which doesn't become self-defeating and self-sabotaging? One can also utilize the GeoCleanse Harmonizer. It's an Orgonite device. You can find it on OrgoneEffectsAustralia.com, and it's an outstanding product, and also Orgone Pyramids, like Masaki Miyagawa produces. So there are ways to cut out the electromagnetic smog and pollution all around us on top of the methods that Dean recommended, that we can cut out this electromagnetic smog, which affects us at a cellular DNA energetic level. Another thing before we wrap up this first half is the importance of sourcing supplements. It's important that we source our supplements from the correct places. Dean, did you want to talk about that?
Yeah, when we source our supplements, we want to get good, high-quality supplements. What happens is we hear about this excellent supplement on the internet, we hear about all the benefits of it, and then we go out and buy the supplement, and we don't feel anything, and we think it's useless, and we stop taking it. It's not the problem with the supplement. It's the quality of the supplements that are available, and most of the supplements you can get are pretty much garbage. When you go to the grocery store, probably 95% of them are garbage, and the other 5% you could use like in an emergency if you didn't have anything, but they're not that good. What you want to do, first of all, you want to find a supplement that's not full of the bad additives, and when you buy supplements, the additives that are going to be common are magnesium stearate, which you don't want in your supplements. There's sodium benzoate, which is similar to benzene and rocket fuel, and you certainly don't want that in your supplements. And then there's all kinds of dyes and fillers and binders. When you get your supplements, you want to get them in capsules or powder form, because if they come in tablet form, they use high heat and high pressure and binders and fillers to make the supplements, so they've already destroyed the supplement and you're not going to get any benefit from them. You also want to look at the capsules your supplements are in, because a lot of supplements will use cheap quality capsules, so what's going to happen is you may have an okay supplement inside, but the capsule is going to damage your health. So you want to have organic supplements, and you want to have supplements that have organic capsules, and sometimes you can tell because the organic capsules are a little bit more clear, and if you take like maybe 5 or 10 of the capsules off and you put them in your mouth, the organic ones aren't going to have a strong taste. They're going to have more of a neutral taste. If you're getting supplements with organic capsules, most likely they're going to be higher quality supplements, but choosing the right supplements can be a bit difficult. We want to get food-based supplements because we eat food. We don't eat oil. We don't eat lab products. And oil and lab-based supplements are going to harm our health. We probably don't want to get glandular supplements either because you can get a lot of viruses, bacteria, and diseases from that. So I would recommend is to get high-quality plant-based supplements that aren't going to have additives that harm your health. The other thing with supplements, a lot of the supplement makers will put good stuff on the ingredients, but they're full of binders and fillers. An example of this one is when you're buying Camu Camu, a lot of times it's cut with flour or it's cut with other additives because Camu Camu is very expensive. So you want to be careful about your supplements, and right now we're working on getting providers of supplements to have good, high-quality supplements, but for now, when you buy your supplements, what you want to do is make sure there's no additives like magnesium stearate, sodium benzoate. Stay away from dyes, stay away from fillers, and use food-based supplements.
Well, we've reached the end of the first hour, and we're just getting started. We're going to talk about solutions, things that people can implement in order to detach themselves from this matrix and in order to empower themselves, vice disempower themselves. So I want to thank you, listeners, for listening to this first hour, and we will see you at the top of the next hour.